Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
It's not Halloween, in case you're wondering and listening to this episode thinking, hang on a minute, I thought it was December, not the end of October. Zoe had a bit of a scary experience in a hotel last week.
God.
And I wanted to tell us about it.
I am so freaked out. You know when you're still shuddering from fear? So obviously I'm away on the Heart Tour last week and we stayed at all these different locations, different hotels up and down the country. And we arrive at one, and I don't want to say the name because you might never, ever, ever go and visit it ever again. Really lovely, you know, set in these grounds, this beautiful kind of old school hotel. And they're like, I mean, it's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. And I'm a bit like ghosty. I'm a bit spooky. So I pick up on senses and spirits and stuff when I go into places. Like having grown up in the house that I grew up in, which was definitely haunted, the slightest bang and I'm like already calling, you know, the most haunted crew to come round. And so they checked me into the room and they were like, there we go, Miss Hardman, leave you to it. So I'm recording the podcast actually in the room. And I bet you can see it on the video. I just start looking over to the left because I heard this click, 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 click. And I look over at the kettle and the fucking kettle is turning off and on, off and on, orange light on, orange light off in front of me. So was really freaking me out. And then I kept hearing like, it was almost like there were footsteps coming from the bathroom whilst I was on the podcast. Anyway, I then went down to reception and was like, I'm not sleeping in that room. It's I'm getting weird noises. The kettle's turning off and on. She was like, oh, what room are you in again? And I was like, 314. And she was like, okay, yeah, no, best I move you. And I was like, oh my God, what does that mean? Anyway.
Well, that's not what you want to hear, is it? You want to be told, no, there's absolutely nothing wrong. No one's ever said that before.
No.
You don't want the...
No. She said room 308 and room 314 are the rooms they've had the most complaints about, right? So at this point, I am completely losing it, okay? Then... unbeknownst to me, they move somebody into my room, one of the other crew, right? So anyway, I go down for dinner. I'm telling them what's going on. I'm now in the bridal suite, which, by the way, is huge, but also really spooky. And anyway, and at dinner, I'm like, who's in 314? And the big driver who was like, I don't believe in ghosts. What are you talking about? He's like, I've moved into 314. I was like, okay, cool. Anyway, sleep well. Next morning, he comes down and, excuse the pun, it looked like he'd seen a ghost. In the middle of the night, the shower turned on.
No.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. But it wasn't like a push button. The whole knob had turned round and there was steam in the bathroom and he was completely freaked out. This genuinely happened.
Oh my God. I've never believed in ghosts until this moment now, because there is no explanation for a shower turning on and turning round.
Absolutely zero. And he's like a 60-year-old man who said, I'm never stepping foot back in this hotel again. And we all left the hotel really, 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 really quickly. There's another side to that story where with like the girl that died. I mean, I don't even want to go there with what we heard as we were leaving. But anyway, we're like, okay, bye. Never get me back. So really, really grateful to be staying back in my own home now.
So now when you're on TripAdvisor, you're going to be looking through like the hotel reviews. Haunted. Keyword. Haunted. Is it haunted? Has anyone seen a ghost here? Oh my God, I literally can't believe that. I can't get over it.
I know.
How can the shower go on? I really don't like things like that.
Me neither. Anyway, how are you? Any spooky goings on with you this week?
No, luckily. But I don't want to like offend any ghosts in the case they now come after me. I do believe in ghosts now. No, do you know what? Like on an actually quite serious note, I'm really worried about Axel. I've spoken about it on Instagram. And we've been, I guess, a little bit worried about him for the last few months because he went from being really, really confident and just like went to summer camp throughout the whole school holidays with 14-year-olds, 8-year-olds, like all different age groups, to suddenly at half term didn't want to go, was really upset going. So we didn't send him. And then recently, when we go to anything, he's always, I don't want to go.
No.
And last weekend when we were on our way to Winter Wonderland, he was going, oh, my tummy hurts. As we were approaching the like Winter Wonderland. And I was like, no, I don't think it does. You know, it's fine. Got there and he was fine and loved it. Then on the way to his school fair on Saturday, he went, mummy, my tummy hurts.
Right.
And we'd already been picking up on him being really worried about stuff. So they have spelling tests at school and he didn't get one wrong the whole of the first half of the term. So obviously his teacher's like, that's great, Axel. You know, they sort of segregate them off into different groups. I'm going to move you to red group or whatever it is. He freaked out, like freaked out at her. No, I don't want to move to red. No. So she said to me, oh, he was really upset. He didn't want to move. So I've just kept him on the same group. Is that all right? And I was like, well, yeah, it's fine. So we have noticed like, you know, things like little things like that happening, which is quite out of character for him because normally he's literally just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's fine. Mm. But on Saturday, as we were approaching his school and he said, I've got a stomach ache again. Mm. I said, I think your stomach thinks you're worried. And
it is anxiety.
Yeah. But it's really, I think I only really realised on Sunday, like this, we need to do something about it because it can't continue like this. And it's been so sudden and such a massive change from how he was. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just feel a bit confused. And we, you know, James and I have been sitting down thinking, what have we done? Like,
no, it's not you, George. Do you know what? If we had Chris and Rose on this chat with us, they would tell us that this is really, really natural and really normal. And actually, I think we do hear it quite a lot. And you and I have had those conversations. Doesn't help you, doesn't help Axel. But I think the only thing that you can do is to keep reassuring him that he's safe, you know, that you're there for him, that he's got nothing to worry about. I do worry that they're putting too much pressure on the young kids.
Like, so do I.
You know, there's I understand that they have to have like a behavioral thing at school, but it's like, you know, you mentioned to Luna that she might go on the cloud and she's like, I don't want to go on the cloud. I don't want to go on. And I'm like, don't worry, you're not going to go on the cloud. Like, just relax, have a nice time. You're only five. Like, don't worry about it too much. She's been doing this thing with her weeing. I was worried for a while because I thought she had a UTI, but she's obsessed with going for wees. And then she says, mummy, it feels funny. Like, I need to go for a wee again.
This is what we had with Axel. Do you remember?
It's exactly the same. It's happening.
It was during lockdown when the school closed. That's exactly what happened. It's really interesting. And maybe, you know, after the conversation we had about the pressure that they're getting at school at such a young age, maybe, I don't know, maybe it is that they have to behave in a certain way, like spelling tests, like tests in general at five years old. I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, some children can handle it better or whatever, but I might sort of chat to somebody to make sure I'm like handling it in the best way. Cause you know, you've got friends, like I've got friends who speak to therapists because of their anxiety and stuff. And I think I don't want to let it get to that. I want him to learn his coping mechanisms now.
Do you remember the worry dolls that I used with Luna? Maybe you should just get some from Amazon and just say to Axel, right, obviously you've had those funny, you know, that little feeling inside of your stomach. Is there anything that you're thinking about? Is there anything that you're worried about? And then every time put it under the pillow and then, I don't know, give it a shot. It works for Luna.
I know. Yeah. No, I will. But
it's a worry, George.
It is. It really is. We've been really having like some, like, he's kind of sort of pulling apart the way you speak to him. And I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, if anyone's going
pulling
through
everything
it,
apart.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Like, you really do. So, yeah, anyone's going through it, drop me a message. Be good to chat about it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we need to get into today's chat. Otherwise, you and me are just going to gas here for another 10 minutes. really fantastic conversation that we recorded a couple of days ago. Somebody that Georgia and I have watched on screen for a very long time. Yeah. She's pregnant with her second. And yeah, it was the best chat. You've got to wait to the end because the stuff that we discuss at the end was like hilarious. Brilliant. George, who are we chatting to?
Today, we are chatting to Catherine Tilsley.
So joining us on the podcast today, from the scenes in the background with the tree being so large, I think we're going to love this woman because both Georgia and I absolutely love Christmas. Former Coronation Street actress, pregnant with her second baby. She's having a little girl. She's already mum to Alfie, married to Tom. It is the wonderful Catherine Tilsley.
Yay! Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, darling. Yeah, waddling along.
We're so happy to have you on, and you've got us feeling festive with that tree and all those beautiful decorations in the background.
Yeah, I feel like we should say this to you. Happy Christmas. What an absolute treat. We want to dive straight in because we've got so many things to talk to you about.
As you're 5.5 months pregnant now, but we want to take you right back to when you were pregnant with your first. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got pregnant? Well, not all the details, please. And how your first pregnancy was?
Yeah, so when I was pregnant with Alfie, so this is like 7 years ago now, he was a wonderful surprise. We got pregnant very quickly. We were very, very lucky. And I had a great pregnancy, actually, looking back, especially when I compare it to this one, because this one is completely different. Everything was great with Alfie. I was very tired in the first trimester, but I didn't really have much sickness. He was 15 days late. By that point, and we had a private midwife as well as our wonderful NHS midwives, and she said, "Look, you've got plenty of water there. I can let you go 20 days, you know, if you want to." But by which point, I was having to crawl up the stairs. Because he was so engaged, he was so low down. So I wanted a home birth originally, but of course, when you're that overdue, you're then asked to go into hospital and they try to induce you. And we tried it with the pessary initially, which is a more gentle form of being induced, and we just got nowhere. It went on and on and on for 3 days. And then eventually I had the synthetic hormones put on a drip, which I really didn't want, but you know what? He got here safely and that's all that matters. But my birthing plan, as it were, and I'm a Virgo, so I love a plan.
Yes.
I love a plan. And I quickly learned that nothing was going to go to plan, actually. You know, we'd had a birthing pool set up in the conservatory at home. That went out the window. And everything that I thought I would opt for and want is just very different. I'm very, very holistic. I'm a nature bunny. So I always look to natural medicines and look to what foods I'm eating, etc. And I remember my midwife and I, we said, you know what, we're going to try and do this with essential oils, no pain relief. Oh, my word.
I know, right?
Once I got in there and she was wafting around with lavender, I was like, no, 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 babes, get out of my face.
Get the lavender going.
So, do you know what, this time I'm way more chilled because I just feel like, it's nice to have an idea of things, but you never know what's going to happen, do you? It can just all change in a matter of minutes.
It's so interesting that you've just said that because it sounds like you and I had quite similar birthing experiences. And I'm also, a real nature bunny. Like, I love all of the kind of Eastern medicines. And I've always, you know, homeopathic is always the way that I would go. I did hypnobirthing. I was like, I'm going to give birth in the water in the midwife-led unit. And I had this plan that I really wanted to stick to. And then it just went to absolute shit, basically. And I ended up being blue lighted over after 3 days and all the stuff that happened after that. But it took me a long time to process my labor, and I actually felt quite traumatized. Was that your reality as well, or did you adapt quite quickly to what had happened?
I'd say no. I think we were a little bit traumatized, actually, and things got quite scary at one point. His heart rate dropped, and for whatever reason, I had this overwhelming fear of a cesarean. For me personally, I was just scared of it. It's the unknown, isn't it? And at one point, they said, we're going to have to prep you for a C-section. His heart rate's dropping. And at that point, I am quite spiritual. At that point, I remember in my head praying to my granddad, who we lost some years ago, but he was my hero. And I said, granddad, I can't do this. I can't do a cesarean. Please don't let me have a cesarean. I'm terrified. And honestly, within 2 minutes, I said, I need to push. And they were like, no, we've just checked you. You don't need to push. I said, no, I do. And I'd gone from 2 centimeters to 8 centimeters in like no time.
Oh, wow.
And so I remember crying and I said to Tom, I was going, it's my granddad. And at this point, Tom was like, she's off her face. She's not got a clue what she's doing. But in my mind, now I look back and I'm like, I really feel like my granddad was with me in some way because everything just changed after I'd asked for his help, if you will.
But also, do you think that, maybe, it could be you asking your granny for his help, but your mindset changed? Because I think, so much that we sort of know about labour is about being relaxed and sort of taking control of your body, which is easier said than done. But I guess maybe at that moment, that was you taking control of your body and your mind sort of taking over. And weirdly, you managed to relax because you felt like your granny was going to help you. I don't know. It's just, I find that really interesting that, you know, your body can just change so quickly, 2 centimeters to 8 centimeters, because it's like you didn't want that C-section and your body just took over.
I think you're totally right. I did feel, I don't know, I just, everything inside me was screaming that I didn't want it. Not that there's anything wrong with it, it's birth is birth, whichever way it happens, but I just felt terrified. And I got into a different mindset. And around that time, the Rocky soundtrack had kicked in on our playlist.
Oh, yeah.
The one with 20 little steps.
Oh, I love a bit of Rocky. So it was real game face mode. And my husband used to be a personal trainer and he'd gone into full PT mode. And it suddenly felt like a gym workout.
Yeah, suddenly the towels were being brought out, the mouth guard. Yeah. Kath, we're doing this. and then what was it like after you brought Alfie home? How did you kind of get on with the early days of motherhood? Can you remember them?
I'd lost quite a bit of blood. I didn't need a transfusion, but I remember because I was out, once I'd given birth, I was out of the hospital within 4 hours. And I remember Tom really pushing for us to go home. And me in my head, I kept thinking, I don't feel ready, really don't feel ready. Anyway, we did. We came home and physically I was fine, but I was so weak. And I would say for the first 2 days, I was that exhausted after such a long labour. It was a case of when baby cried, Tom would get one of my boobs out, put the baby on it and, bring me food when I needed it. But I didn't leave bed for the first 2 days. And I remember first bringing him home and we put him between us on the bed and we were silent and we just ate mini eggs for about an hour. Just in complete shock. And I don't think anything can prepare your birthing partner, whoever that may be, for such an experience. Because for Tom, it was so traumatic and they had to cut me at one point as well. And I remember I'd kept saying that I wasn't going to have an epidural. I was like, I'm going to do this naturally. And then I remember it had got too late at this point, but I remember crying to Tom and I'm going, I'm so sorry, but I need an epidural. He was like, why are you apologizing? Just have what you need. I think I'd put so much pressure on myself to have this idyllic, natural birth. And you just can't do that because baby's in charge and your body will do whatever it needs to do to get baby here. So
isn't it amazing that we put that much pressure on ourselves? This is a conversation that we have because we hear people's birth stories all the time and we are led to believe that A, it's going to go to plan, the birthing plan, as a plan normally does in our heads. Mm-hmm. And then when that doesn't happen, there's almost this feeling of guilt that we have let ourselves down. We're always setting ourselves up for failure from the first moment we decide, right, or the baby decides it's coming now. It's like, no, that's not how it should be. The whole language behind it has to change, I think. And we've got to stop putting so much, just blame on our shoulders about stuff. I mean, it's amazing. We're birthing children.
I know. Exactly. And also, like you said, it doesn't matter how the child gets into the world. We almost just need to think about everyone being safe, and however that happens, it has to happen like that.
You were but good like that, George. You got that I think.
I think first time around, I was maybe just a bit naive to everything. And I kind of maybe buried my head in the clouds a bit, and that worked for me. But it wouldn't work. Do you know what I mean? And it wouldn't work for everyone, I guess. Again, I wasn't planning on having a child, so I hadn't fully, pictured everything. It almost happened all very quickly, and the birth was the scary part, and I was hiding from the birth. But actually, it worked out. It worked out okay. Mm-hmm. So obviously, after your first, you're now pregnant with your second, a little girl. And your son's 7 now. Mm-hmm. So
he'll be 7 in March.
Seven in March. How did you decide to have a second one? Was it something you talked about, or again, was it something that happened quite quickly?
Yeah. You know what? We'd spoken about it for a long time. Alfie was a great baby, but he didn't sleep for the first 3 years.
Oh, God.
So that put us off slightly. He was terrible with his sleep. And we tried everything, the controlled crying. We had a specialist night nurse come and stay for a couple of nights, and it was just him. He just wasn't a great sleeper. So for a long time, Tom and I were like, I can't do that again. And then over the years, I kept going, you know what, I'll just do this job. I'll just do this drama. I'll just do this. And then I would think I was filming Viewpoint for ITV. I was really broody. This is during the first lockdown, actually, second lockdown. And I remember saying to Tom before we started filming, I was like, I can't get pregnant. I've got sex scenes. I can't get pregnant. And then I got EP4 in script format, and my character was pregnant. And I was,
oh no.
Because we had, over the past few years, I've had a nightmare with my hormones. Really bad after Strictly, because of the excessive exercise, my estrogen dipped really badly, and I started to experience migraines with aura. So I'd lose my vision, and I knew straight away, because it also happened when I was breastfeeding Alfie, and it actually forced me to stop breastfeeding. I loved breastfeeding, but when you've got a newborn and you can't see properly, it was just so I knew. I thought my estrogen's dipped, and then they put me on, well, it's HRT, I suppose, but the natural gel that's made from yams, which is brilliant for some women, but for me, it was a nightmare. I ballooned. My body thought I was pregnant almost. I was displaying all the symptoms of pregnancy, including morning sickness. And then my estrogen was dangerously high. And we had to, so it was just all over the place.
So did you think that you were in, because I read somewhere that you thought you might be perimenopausal at one point.
Yeah. So I'd had a coil fitted, because I did suffer really badly with my periods. And although my body was demonstrating or imitating, if you will, signs of pregnancy, I was Googling like how many women get pregnant on the coil, because I was convinced. I was that convinced. I was like, the coil's not there. It's not there. I'm pregnant. And
is this the Marina coil?
This is the Marina. Yeah. And it did. It really settled my periods. It helped a lot. There was a couple of other jobs coming up. And I said to Tom, I was like, I'm going to take the coil out. I'm just going to see what my body does naturally. I don't think I'm going to fall pregnant, because we've had such a nightmare with hormones. And I fell pregnant straight away, like literally the first month.
Wow.
But do you know what's funny? Like you were saying about your body relaxing, I went to my gynae to get the coil removed. He was having a little nosy, and he was like, I'm really sorry, Kath, you're going to have to come in for surgery. It's not there. You're in the 10% where it's kind of gone into your uterus. And and I remember thinking, I don't want, especially with COVID, because then diary wise and isolation and all this, and I'm thinking, I'm never going to have the coil out at this rate. It's going to be in another 8 months' time. And I went to my friend who does, she does massage and sound healing and relaxation. And I had a session with her. And she does a lot of things around fertility. It's all holistic, and she does sort of womb cleansing. And it sounds really hippie, but it makes a lot of sense. It's just about relaxing the body. And I phoned my gynecologist on Monday and I said, I want you to look again. I said, I think it's there. I want you to look again. And I went to see him that afternoon, and he was like, I don't know what you've done, but I can whip it out. And it's so old in my voice. And I phoned my friend. I was like, you're some kind of like womb guru. But yeah,
did she perform that massage on like your tummy?
Yeah. It was, do you know what? It was a whole host of things. It was deep meditation, like transcendental meditation. She massaged my tummy, you know, tried to relax me, because I mean, I was really busy with work. I had so much on my mind. I think my body was just so tense that for whatever reason, this coil had just come walk about with the stress of it all. So we were so lucky. But again, I think, you know, I do always look to nature and alternative therapies. And although my gynae isn't that way inclined, he was like, whatever you did, well done, because here we are, sort of thing.
That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, we touched on it actually in a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about acupuncture and about, you know, stimulating the ovaries, and, you know, certain women have had it. I had it when I was trying to conceive with Luna and it worked. And, you know, we get lots of messages about it, just saying, you know, do you really believe in it? And it's one of those ones. It's like, you know, I know that the medical profession say, you know, there's no actual kind of real results, and they might not have done many kind of sort of tests on it to see it, and many research papers and stuff. But if it works for you and it relaxes you and it does the job mentally for you, then go for it. You know, it worked for you, Cass.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we? So they whipped the coil out.
Whipped it out, and literally, so I would have conceived like 2 weeks later.
Amazing.
Which is just crazy. And I remember thinking that I felt different. I'm really in tune with my body, and that makes me sound like such a hippie, but I felt different. But I kept saying to Tom, I was like, my hormones, this is going to be bad. I said, my hormones are going cuckoo again. I didn't for 1 minute think I was pregnant at all, just because we'd really been through it. And I also wasn't sure. I hadn't really read up as to whether you could fall pregnant that soon after having the Myrina removed. So we were really, really, really lucky. Yeah.
And were you experiencing any other sort of perimenopausal symptoms? Because I'm going through it at the moment, and I'm actually on HRT now. So were you getting any of the fogginess or the insomnia or the, you know, the sort of, well, inability to do very much, to be honest with you?
Yeah, I was. I was getting insomnia in bursts, brain fog. What else was it? Night sweats. That was the big one for me. I was convinced. I was like, this is it. I'm perimenopausal 100%.
Does it run in your family? Does early menopause run in the family?
Not necessarily, no. I wouldn't. My mum was slightly early, but I wouldn't say it was a thing. But I just had such, and hormones fascinate me. They do. One of my friends is an endocrinologist, and the stuff that she explains to me, they're in control of everything, which is why, you know, I think it's so brilliant that the world is waking up to menopause finally.
Yes.
You know, and to educate everybody about it, because it is huge.
Yeah. And tell us about this pregnancy, because at the beginning of the chat, you touched on the fact that you had quite an easy pregnancy first time around, but this time has been a bit different. How's it been?
I remember going to see my doctor just before I turned 6 weeks pregnant. And she was like, do you need anything? Are you feel? And I was like, I feel great. I feel fine. And literally 2 days later, I started to feel really sick. And that just got worse and worse. And I literally just started a new job for ITV on a drama. And suddenly I was spending the whole time trying not to throw up on the other actors.
Oh.
It was so embarrassing. And I got really poorly. And at one point, ITV were great. They really looked after me and they sent me to hospital. And he was very much trying to, because I didn't want, obviously I was eating because I knew I needed to, but it was like everything turned my stomach. At that point, I was losing weight, which, you know, isn't ideal. And he put me on electrolytes and he gave me medication for the sickness on Donacetron, I think they were called. And they were brilliant, actually. And again, you go through that. Well, I did. I went through the whole thing of beating myself up, going, no, I am not taking medication. I don't. Because when I was pregnant with Alfie, I remember having a headache and I was like, I'm not taking paracetamol, you know, and I just kept beating myself up. And eventually things got so bad. I was like, I need to have a word with myself. And I started taking the medication. My doctor was like, it is safe. Thousands of women take the exact same medication. And your quality of life at the moment isn't great. You can barely function. Mm. And at week six, also, the insomnia started. So I'm averaging 2 to 3 hours sleep a night. I know, it's horrendous. I don't actually know how I'm stood up. I have the odd night where I'll grab 4 hours, and that is amazing to me. And I'm relaxing, I'm meditating, you know, I'm trying to not look at my phone or read a book and, you know, just try and calm my body down. But again, I was taking magnesium, 600 milligrams is the maximum you can take when you're pregnant. And normally that would knock me out. It did nothing. I saw my obstetrician a couple of weeks ago and he said the same thing. He said, this is silly now. He said, I'm going to try you on a really small dose of diazepam. He said, it's there if you need it. It's safe. It's, you know, it's not going to harm you or baby. Mm. And I was like, no, no, no. And then I got to the point where I was desperate and I took one and I was wide awake all night. And I told my midwife and she was like, what?
What?
On diazepam? I was like, yeah. It had zero effect. Zero effect.
So you think that was you being sort of worried and overzealous about the tablet? Or do you think, because I know that sometimes you know, if you have the ability to kind of, even if you're dog tired, if you're listening out for your kids, you're like, they're going to be okay? Is everything okay? Or was it just you think the insomnia is so bad that it's not doing anything?
I think, so the insomnia is, it's progesterone, basically.
Right.
I'm very sensitive to hormones. We've learned that over the past few years. And the obstetrician feels that as the progesterone levels grow, that is what's keeping me awake, which is the same thing that would keep me awake in my monthly cycle sometimes for a few days.
Right. Well, so when you used to have your periods, you used to suffer from insomnia then as well?
Yeah, only for 3 or 4
days
at certain points in the month. But yeah, do you know what? When I started on the estrogen gel a while back to get my estrogen levels back up, they gave me progesterone then just in a small dose. And again, I didn't sleep.
Really sensitive to it.
So unfortunately, and there's nothing you can do because, you know, baby needs the progesterone and it's important that the hormones keep doing what they're doing. But again, alternative therapies in terms of relaxation and stuff during the day. My friend's been, she's been doing shamanic drumming, actually.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. When she said she was bringing her drums around, I was like, babes, that does not sound relaxing.
I thought you were going to bring like a packet of biscuits and we'd get the Netflix on. What?
It was honestly, it's the repetition of the drums and it works with your brain waves and the best way to describe it is it puts you into some weird trance. Mm. And I did. I went under. I was gone. So there's going to be more drumming around my house. Just a drumming. My husband thinks I'm mental.
He's going to get the gongs out as well, gongs and drums. You'd be chanting, do some yoga. It sounds lovely.
Whatever it takes, though, right? I mean, you're averaging 2 hours sleep a night. I mean, I could, let alone when you're growing a human, I could not function on that.
I know. And of course, normally, when I'm not pregnant, I would have maybe 2 or 3 coffees a day, but also you're limited with caffeine.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I've been known in the past when insomnia's kicked in. I know it's not ideal. Don't try this at home, kids. But just to swig a bit of night nurse or have a lem sip.
Yes.
Or what is it? Antihistamine. Doesn't that usually help?
Yes. But, you know,
No.
Is there any scientific evidence that it's got anything to do with having a girl versus having a boy? Because I know that I was definitely sicker with Luna than I was with Kit. And there were definitely stronger... I don't know, just maybe stronger 100%. Side effects of my pregnancy. Yeah.
Everybody that I've spoken to that's had experience of a boy and a girl, without exception, actually, everybody has said the same. And it's interesting because I've got a few friends who are doctors and nurses, and some of them have said, oh my God, yes, it's because you're having a girl. But my obstetrician was like, I don't really know if there's any truth in that. And he's been delivering babies for like 20 years. So... But I think so, because it's beyond different. My body is the way I'm carrying her, completely different to Alfie. I've just had to spend nearly £200 on bras because my boobs appear to have a life of their own. It's like it won't stop. Like, Alfie has started to call them my udders.
Cheers, Alfie. Thanks.
Thanks, babes.
But do you think it's to do with hormones? Like, if you're sensitive to hormones and then you're having a girl, that it would make sense, wouldn't it? Like, we're not doctors.
I think so.
We're not medical, but it kind of... I mean, I was so sick when I was pregnant with Gigi. I felt horrible. Like, it would make sense, wouldn't it?
Oh, I totally... I was just overriding my obstetrician. I was like, no, babes.
yeah.
Girls are a different ball game. No. And completely, I completely agree. I think your body just handles things really differently with a girl.
You wrote the most beautiful post the other day about, you know, having a girl and saying that you were loving the body changes and that the curves, because that was a pillow for you. And it was just, it made me really emotional reading it, actually. It was really beautifully written. How do you feel about your body changing and that sort of, you know, the postnatal body? We talk about this a lot you know, it can be quite shocking to some people. Some people really embrace it and get on board with it. And where do you sit?
I have good days and bad days. So sometimes, like the other day, I'd taken my bra off and I just sat down for a breather and I saw my boobs just resting on my bump and I was like, oh my God, what is this? So I have moments like that where I'm almost in complete shock and my body looks unrecognizable. Mm. But then I have other moments where I'm just like, wow, I feel really powerful right now. And this is amazing, because it is amazing. And whenever I see other pregnant women, that is my first thought. I'm like, you're just amazing. You know, I've got so much respect for you. And actually, when I had Alfie, I love my training. I'm really into my weight training and, you know, mentally more than anything. But I was quite proud of myself, because after I'd had him, I gave myself that time. I didn't do any fad diets, you know. I just ate well, gradually started to move more, and my body was what it was. And it probably took me a good year to feel like myself again. But I think when we look back, you know, in years to come, a year is nothing.
Yeah. What are we in a rush for?
Where's the rush? That, in fact, their whole childhood will go in the blink of an eye. It is such a tiny section of our lives. And yeah, I do. I feel really proud that my body can do this. And some women aren't lucky enough to experience that. So I feel really grateful for that as well.
Yeah. And how do you feel going into your second birth?
A lot more chilled. And I have the most amazing midwife. You know, when you just click, she just gets me. I feel like we're on the same page. I'm pretty sure my husband's got PTSD from the first time round. But it'll be fine. Yeah, really chilled. Honestly, I'm hypnobirthing again because I loved that.
Yeah.
I actually loved just hypnobirthing as a meditation.
I loved
process.
It too. Yeah.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So other than that, I've got no plans. I'm just going to roll with it. I am a water baby. I'd love to try and give birth in water, but the last time when they tried me in the pool, it calmed me down so much that the contractions stopped. So that could happen again. But yeah, I'm much more chilled about it.
And would you be up for a home birth?
Oh, do you know what? I wish I was brave enough because I think it's amazing. And that's what I wanted originally with Alfie. My friend has had her two babies at home and it's brilliant. But things got a bit scary last time because Alfie's heart rate dropped. I lost a lot of blood and at one point they couldn't stop the bleeding and that got a bit scary. Mm. So I think for me now, as much as I'd love to be at home, I will probably go into hospital. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to be relaxed, then that's how you're going to be relaxed, isn't it? You don't want to be worrying about what could possibly happen. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
You also did an interview recently about the amount of meat that you were eating. This really interests me. You were saying you were such a meat eater. What's happening now with your diet in terms of, you know, what you consume? It's really important to you, isn't it, to like have the right diet for your body. So are you still chomping down the meat now or have you?
No. Years ago, when I first started to get into my weight training, do you remember when everyone was like, protein, protein, protein?
Yes.
And it was like snack on a chicken. And
Atkins diet.
The Atkins.
It was very much like the Atkins diet. And I just fell into it really. And I got the bug. I loved the feeling of getting stronger and building muscle mass. And then one of my dear friends is Dale Pinnock, the medicinal chef, who is wonderful. And he turned around and said to me, he was like, Kath, do you know what? You're lifting a bit heavier. You look great, but you're asking for bowel cancer, darling. Like, this is way too much meat. Yeah, because it was just constant. It was meat with every meal and I would snack on meat or prawns or fish. And he was like, there's just no need. There's plenty of protein in lots of plant-based foods. And he was right, so I gave my head a wobble. And then I had a health scare, actually, not long after he'd spoken to me. And it did make me wonder, because he was saying that this much meat is inflammatory. It did make me wonder, and I just kind of reviewed everything all over. I always ate a lot of veg. I'm obsessed with veg anyway, but I was just eating too much meat alongside it, whereas now I'm predominantly plant-based, I'd say flexitarian because I love my fish as well. But yeah, it's much more balanced than it was.
A flexitarian? Have you ever heard
flexitarian.
That, George?
Flexitarian. I love
it. I think I'm a flexitarian. Yeah, you
are. Just think, is it? Because then, I will admit, before the sex scenes that I had in Viewpoint, I did spend a week on chicken and spinach. So that's where the flexi comes in. Yeah, but I wouldn't go back to doing it for long periods of time. I think, if I've got an event and I feel like being careful for a week and not wanting to bloat too much, then great. But other than that, I'm just really balanced.
How intense is it doing those sex scenes as somebody who's married and in love with somebody else? Like what do they clear the set? Like, are you thinking, put me best undies on or...
Do you know what? What they do now is they have somebody that is an intimacy coordinator.
Wow. Whoa, how'd you get that job?
Great job. Basically, since the Me Too movement, everything needed looking at again. And I think we had the most wonderful intimacy coordinator on Viewpoint. And it was just about boundaries, because some people have certain areas of their bodies that they don't want to be touched. It might be a trigger point for that person. And I'm quite lucky. Dominic Alburn, who played my husband, and I were both pretty laid back. I was like, crack on, babes, I'm fine, which, made our lives easier. We had a good laugh. We were really comfortable with each other. But obviously, it's always daunting, to go into that room and perform. Because I remember them trying us in different positions. And in the end, I was on top of him. And they went, okay, could you just demonstrate your rhythm, please? And I was like, I beg your pardon? sorry, what? What was that? And I remember just thinking, oh, and we had masks on and we were kissing with masks on because of COVID.
Oh my
so
God.
The whole it was all kinds of weird.
If somebody said to me, demonstrate your rhythm, I'd forget all of my rhythm and I'd go,
I wouldn't know what to do. I'd freeze.
It was just, I remember saying to my spray tan lady the night before we recorded, I was like, could you spray some glutes on and like a six pack? That would be just great. But we had, and you also have a code word so that if any of you feel uncomfortable mid-scene, you can shout the code word. But Dominic and I have both been training hard. We've been eating really carefully in the build-up. So our code word, he decided, was carbs. And I said, look, babe, if anything's going to get me aroused, it's carbs. Don't be shouting carbs.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And I just always wanted to ask an actress this. When you do the kissing, do you use tongues or do you just do like open weird mouthing?
With your tongue in your mouth.
Honestly, this is going to sound really weird, but for me personally, I don't think about it. No. I kiss that person as though I was kissing my husband.
Oh, right. Okay.
Some actors will say to you straight up, like, I really don't like full-on snogging or...
Oh, so everyone's different. It's like you go in like, no, I'm a no-tongues person. Or no, I'm a full-tongue person.
Tongues over here.
Do you know what? I think you just find your way and you just... Obviously, the first time you kiss a person, and I've just been kissing my husband for 7 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, and everybody's different with what they're comfortable with. But in that moment, I don't really think about it. I just go with the scene and you're so in that moment and in that character that you're not thinking about what's going on. Obviously, you're very respectful and you would never, you know, cross a line, but... It's, you know, it just is what it is in that moment and it to look real because I don't think there's anything worse than when you see two people kissing and it looks like they've got mouths as dry as Gandhi's flip-flop and they don't fancy each other.
It's the worst to watch as a viewer. You're like, you're watching two people like, like a couple of seals saying hello. It's like, get your tongue in there.
It's all kinds of awkward. So for me, the most important thing is that the audience believe it. So,
gosh, that is so interesting. We absolutely loved you in Viewpoint. We think you're amazing. We ask every single person that comes on the podcast the best piece of advice that they've ever been given as a mum or the piece of advice that you would give a new mum.
Stock up on dry shampoo.
Stock up on dry shampoo.
Do you know what? I would actually say, this is going to sound really selfish, but I've actually just said this to one of my actress friends who hasn't long since had a baby. The guilt thing can overwhelm us. And I think it's so important not to feel guilty about having you time. Make that time every single week, or even if it's 10 minutes a day, to, I don't know, meditate or do whatever it is you want to do. But it is so important. And when you don't make that time for you, yourself, and for you as a couple as well, you know, like me and Tom, right from the beginning, made sure we had a date night every so often, because it's so easy to lose yourself in the wonderful thing that is motherhood. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But you have to remember that you're a person as well. And, you know, if you want to go and get your hair done or have a massage or whatever, do it, because it will make you feel better. And in turn, the time that you spend with your child, then you're in a better place.
Brilliant. I love that. Yeah. And you mentioned dry shampoo. So I'm guessing that might be one of your favourite products. But can you just give us some of, you know, the products that you swear by for baby, for, you know, Alfie, for yourself?
For baby, I remember we used coconut oil on Alfie all over. And for nappy rash, you know, that was the one that... Again, it's natural. It's got antibacterial properties. It's hydrating. It's great. I literally use coconut oil for everything. Mm. So I just used to slap it all over Alfie. So that was great. In terms of products for me, I am a big fan of magnesium. I love the magnesium salts that you can buy for your bath because we absorb them faster transdermally. So generally, unless you've got high progesterone climbing the walls, it will get into your system, you know, over 20 minutes or so in the bath. It will help to relax you. It, you know, it repairs your muscles quicker.
Yeah.
So for me, magnesium products, you can get sort of body butters now and lotions. I think they're great, especially after the gym.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Love that.
Love that. Kath, thank you so much for coming on. We have loved talking to you. So thank you for taking the time out, and good luck with the second labour. I can't wait to get you back on when you've pushed it out.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Lovely chatting to you. Bye-bye.
I knew it. You have to have a conversation before you stick your tongue in someone's mouth when you're actors. I knew it.
Do you know what? I'm so glad you asked that question, because I've always wondered that. And I love that it's actually different for each actor, because you could be like, oh, well, she loves sticking her tongue down your throat. Whereas, I know, someone else, no, he's an absolute no tongues.
He's
Don't try it with him.
The old mouth chomper. Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? And I've always wanted to know how those scenes work. Like, do you walk in with like, I imagine it's really clinical, but then you're trying to bring sexy as well at the same time. It must be so weird.
Yeah, imagine, yeah, when she said about the rhythm, with all those people watching you. Oh my God, I just, Anyway, that's why she does that job and we don't.
Exactly. No, I loved her. I loved her. And I love her whole holistic approach to things as well, because that really resonates with me. I think, again, like the discussion about, you know, how she's feeling now she's pregnant with a girl versus how she was feeling when she was pregnant with Alfie. Really interesting.
Yeah, I find it really interesting, because I've never been into like alternative therapies, or like I hadn't been brought up like with homeopathic medicine. Yeah. I knew what it was because some of my mum's friends are quite into it. Yeah. But the older I get, I guess I'm quite logical, but some of it is quite logical. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like when she's saying that she, you know, goes and has like womb cleansing and things like that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you can call it womb cleansing, but it's relaxing you.
Yeah.
So for anyone who is logical, like, and has like a logical brain, that is logical, because if it relaxes you, and we know that, you know, being relaxed is the best thing you can possibly be for yourself, for your body, for your mind, then why not do it? And I find it really interesting when people come on and talk about these things.
I do, because it opens up your eyes a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
Outside the box. And also, it reset me a little bit, that chat, because all the things that she was saying, you know, taking time out for you, go get your hair done, have a massage, have a bit of healing if that's what you're into. When do we ever prioritise ourselves in those capacities, especially in December? It's crazy.
I know. I've actually been really trying. Like even this morning when I think I had 45 minutes spare, and I thought, oh, I won't put Gigi in the creche and go to the gym, I really can't be arsed. And then
not?
I thought, no, I did, I put her in, and I thought, no, because I need this time for myself, because what am I going to do if I go home? I'm just going to empty the dishwasher in those 45 minutes, and I'm going to feel really pissed off. And I have decided, like, now I am not going to put myself at the bottom of the list. Like, I'm really not, I'm not doing it.
Go on, George.
Yeah.
Go, George. Watch this space, gang. The next couple of months will be interesting. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and we would love you to rate, review, subscribe, and if you can give us a little follow, that would be amazing. And also review if you've got time. I know we're all very busy, but we do love reading your reviews, and also it does spread the Made by Mamas podcast word out and about a little bit, so that would be great.
Yeah, and obviously if you want to chat to us about anything, or you've got any suggestions for things that we could talk about on the podcast, then please do drop us a DM. We're on at Made by Mamas, and we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.